Hello, and welcome to the first official episode of the Back to Better Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and I've got producer Abby to come on some of these episodes with me.
Hello, I'm so excited to be doing this.
Yeah, in full transparency, I started recording them a little bit, and they felt really preachy and lectury, and I just didn't like doing it solo. And so Abby's like, I'll come on with you. And so now she had to read the books and do the things, which is good, right?
Yeah, it's forced, good for me.
Forced self-growth.
Well, and I like reading, and I love audiobooks. So, and I was actually, it was perfect timing because I actually needed something to read. So, worked out well.
Perfect. So, the book that we're talking about, this very first book, we're going to get into why I recommended it right away. But, so it is called I Know How She Does It by Laura Vanderkam. And it's kind of a play on the previous book that came out, I Don't Know How She Does It, meaning women that are expected to wear all of these hats and how do you possibly succeed being a wife and a mom and a career and all of these things. And hers was a practical book on how successful women manage their time.
Like in the first chapter of the book, I got like Liz Lemon vibes. If you've ever watched the show 30 Rock, it's all about a woman in her 30s trying to figure out how she can have a successful career in entertainment, how she can have kids, how she can manage relationships both professionally and personally. It just, and I've been rewatching 30 Rock like as I was reading the book. So just everything felt really full circle.
So first of all, so everyone who is listening to this podcast episode, if you have not read the book yet, read the book first, because this is meant to be our thoughts on the book, but not necessarily a summary of the book, because if we summarize everything in the book, you might as well have read the book. So go back and read the book. The links to the book club are in our episode notes. But first of all, I want to ask what your thoughts are as far as, you know, did this book apply to you? So when I was Googling this, because I thought it was a great book, and then I realized that there's a lot of frustrations about this book based on people that, you know, they say it's unrelatable or something like that, because her definition of success is someone who's making 100 grand, so six figures, someone who has a minor child living at home. And so I think people miss the point. They're like, well, so if you don't have kids, you're not successful or whatever, which that's not what I thought the author meant. And I think people are going to choose to make excuses for why something won't work with them. Or there's like, well, if I made six figures, I could outsource it, which is kind of her point. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But what did you think of those parts? Was it still relatable to you as someone who doesn't have kids, but you're married and you have family and responsibilities? But
yeah, I did have that like feeling. It was a couple chapters in. I'm like, man, she's talking about like motherhood and managing like kids and their busy lives as well a lot, but I'm going to pick what applies to me and leave what doesn't, because I know that I can still get something out of this, even if not every single thing she says relates to me. Like, I don't need to worry about putting my kids to bed, but I do need to worry about putting myself to bed at a decent time.
Yeah.
So there were things like, you just got to run it through your own filter. And I still got stuff out of this book, even though it was kind of more heavily geared towards like motherhood.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, even for me, there were parts of it that, so we're going to go back toward the beginning when I first read this. So I read this book in 2018 and I had 1 year left of grad school and I was trying to decide what I was going to specialize in as a nurse practitioner. And because of this book, I chose family medicine. I had been looking at working in trauma. And so I would have been like the rounding, not hospitalist, but the rounding provider on those trauma patients for that service and directly reporting to the trauma surgeon. So I would go pre-see the patients, kind of summarize them, but it was very much at the mercy of the schedules of the surgeons. There was never going to be a time where I could come in at 8 a.m. instead of 7. It was, we start at 7. There was never going to be a time where it wouldn't be frowned upon that I'm leaving early once in a while. The fact is, the majority of those working in that career, they either were married to a fellow surgeon who fully understood it, or they had a stay-at-home spouse. And so that managed the household and didn't have to worry about any of those things. And so they either completely outsourced everything if they were both surgeons, or they, you know, had to worry about nothing but work. And I realized that, okay, for me and my husband, Josh, at the time he was still alive, and I had a 1-year-old, and I'm like, you know, if I do family medicine, I will have a lot more control over my own schedule. Mm-hmm. I can say, you know what, on Thursdays, I'm going to come in late, or on this day, you know, I adjust my schedule mm-hmm. within that. And so I would just have a lot more freedom and flexibility within my schedule. And that's what this book really resonated with me, is that you can shift things around.
Yeah, even like coming here today to record this, I shifted a few of my mosaic tiles around and made it work.
Yep. And we're going to spend kind of the second half of this talking about our schedules and our mosaic tiles. But some takeaways that I thought, and you wrote down some good quotes from the book too.
Quotes.
So one thing that I thought was interesting was, the majority of white collar workers exaggerate their work hours as a badge of honor. And I will say, my late husband, Josh, oh, he did that. He'd be like, yeah, I work 80 hours a week. No, you don't. Like 80 hours a week? No, you don't.
Yeah.
Like you do not work before 7 a.m. and you don't work. No, like you don't work that much.
Mm-hmm.
You do. I mean, he probably worked 55, but he didn't work 80. Like, that is so much.
Yeah, that is. I'm like even trying to, I don't even, how many days is 80 hours?
Exactly. Like,
it's almost 4 full days.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, so that was interesting to me. Another thing that I took away from this was being aware of when you are working past the point of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. I loved that quote. I felt like, you know, acknowledging that at some point, are you even working? Do you just, you know, so there's other books that we're going to have in this book club going forward that are going to be really helpful. One of them is called Deep Work, and that's acknowledging when you get the most productive things done. And from the hours of 5:30 to 9:30, I can get more done than I would get done from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Like, yeah, I just...
It's when your brain is firing at its...
Exactly. And for some people, it's going to be evening, and some people it's going to mm-hmm. be... But just realizing that, you know what? Why don't I just go for a walk or get a workout in or go play with my kids? And then I'm going to feel rested and mm-hmm. I will have done something that I wanted to do, and I'm not, you know, losing out on, you know, just figuring out what those productive hours, I think, was her point there. You're not a mom, but like I said, you have a lot of other relationships, and I think family can be however people define them. And maybe family time is me time or whatever, but being with your family is not the same as being around your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that was something that I really took away when I first read this, when I first became a mom 6 years ago, and realizing that, you know, maybe I feel guilty for being away from my kid during XYZ time. And I had Tuesdays off when I first started my job. I worked 4 9-hour days and I had Tuesdays off. And Josh and I had kind of loosely decided I was going to send her to daycare every other Tuesday. So I would have one day to like do all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at the price of that one extra day. And I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to send her every Tuesday, and then whether we send her or not, or maybe she just goes in the morning, or maybe right. she just whatever, so that I could actually be with her versus being frustrated that I'm trying to get laundry done, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. And so I just think, you know, that was something that was really eye-opening to me.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between just trying to get projects done while your family members are in the general vicinity versus spending like good quality time where your attention is on each other. Because I know my own family has that, like, we'll have a project that we're doing, and yes, we're with each other, and yes, it's probably the same project we're all working on, whether it's cutting down deer trails in the woods or working on cutting out a window out of the house, which was a recent project. And yes, we're around each other, but we're not, like, dedicated, speaking to each other, having conversations. It's more of just getting the thing done, and we're there.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the biggest takeaways I took from this, as someone who someday I'm going to have the conversation about what my kids want to do for a living or whatever. But she talked about the fact that nobody ever says, you know, women especially will say, well, I don't want to be a doctor because I want to have kids someday. Mm-hmm. I want to have a family someday. Whereas you will never hear someone say, I don't want to be a teacher because I want to have kids someday, or I want to, you know, no, mm-hmm. that seems like a career that you can balance versus this, when really, for the most part, depending on the specialty, yes, you're going to sacrifice a lot in your 20s, but then in your 30s and beyond, you'll have a heck of a lot more flexibility and control over your schedule mm-hmm. compared to someone that doesn't. And so, I mean, that was a big decision for me when I was going back to nurse practitioner school. When you're working shifts in a hospital, which is the highest paid RN, then you're sacrificing, you can't leave during the day. I remember when I was first dating Josh and I was like, oh, what do you got going on tomorrow or something? And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to go to work until 9:30 because I have a dentist appointment. I'm like, what? Like, you don't,
that's an option.
Like, you like, and I remember thinking, I'm like, well, what do you do if you work 5 days a week? Like, when do you go to the dentist? And he's like, during the day. Like, you just, I mean, you plan around it and you mm-hmm. but here I was like, no, when you work 12 hour shifts, you just have to schedule those things on your day off, you know, which mm-hmm. obviously, cause someone, you know, it's shift work and you're responsible for patients or whatever, but just realizing that, oh, you can do that. That's how most people do it. Or I don't know, just different careers. And
it was an eye-opening thing for me too, because I spent the first 7 years of my professional career as a radio DJ, and your air shift was your air shift and you were in the building for your air shift. Mm-hmm. So like when I started, I was doing afternoon. So I would work from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Well, when can you squeeze in a dentist appointment on your day off? Mm-hmm. Because it's either that or you have to take that PTO that you have basically none of because you're in your 20s and you're mm-hmm. just starting out. And yeah, it's definitely eye-opening, because then I went to the county and I'm like, oh, I can just like take some random time to go get a dentist appointment. Weird.
Yeah. And I think that for me, another thing that I took away from the book that was something that, and keep in mind that I've been doing this for 6 years. Like when I recorded my time, I mean, probably once a year, if not more, I've been doing this and I've been mindful of it, especially as I now wear so many different hats. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I'm being really careful about, you know, the schedule and, you know, just looking at, you know, what hours I work and how many hours. And I worked 42.5 hours.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Solid.
Yep. I spent 20 hours uninterrupted with my children.
Wow.
I spent 5 hours and 45 minutes on parenting duties.
What do you consider parenting duties versus time with your children?
Exactly. So I have realized how much I hate to say the word hate, but kind of like we just fight with it. The bedtime routine, bath time, that type of thing. I considered those parenting duties because it's not fun. Not fun wrestling them. Neither of them like to wake up, neither of them like to go to bed. I don't know, Vi used to, and then I think I just wrecked them when we lived in the camper for so long. We're still trying to get back to it, and end of summer routine, and this was like I was trying to force them to go to bed earlier. And it's also important to know that what is being recorded is being edited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that there is definitely room for improvement when it comes to, you know, okay, maybe read a book during the bedtime routine or read a book to them while they're in the bath, rather than I'm playing referee. So I'm like, this isn't fun. This isn't enjoyable. If I
throwing
can
throw flags on them.
Yeah. And so if I, you know, I'm yelling at them for splashing all over my walls in the bathtub, and then Jamie did it first. Mm-hmm. I did not count, you know, I put driving under the category of driving. But all of my jobs, I had categories of work. I had four different categories of work. One was the flower farm. One was the podcasting / coaching stuff. Some of that is getting the book club set up. Some of it is my flower farming coaching, you know, whatever. So the flower farm itself, podcasting coaching stuff, which is Bloom and Grow LLC, working as a nurse practitioner. And then we actually just closed the following week on an investment property, rental property. And so I was working on that stuff. So I spent 4 hours working on that, which that's an interesting week, right? I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, it was go to the bank, get a cashier's check because I needed this. And, you know, call the insurance agent, you know, just like little piddly yeah. things that I was doing that and like on the phone with the title company. So I counted that as work.
Yeah.
Whereas some people might not consider that working. So had I not done that, I would have been at like 38 hours. And so I spent, 22 hours working on the actual flower farm. A lot of that was tours or a STEM bar or TNT, which is my networking group. And then, you know, we had some kids classes and we had a UPIC and I did most of that. There was only one morning where I was cutting flowers and making bouquets because Brittany and Lydia were still here okay. working. But yeah, it was really mindful to see keeping track of what hours went where. And then, you know, there were a lot of things like I met with my friend Andrea at Orange Theory and we worked out. Mm-hmm. I called that working out, even though I have a category of me time, which could be friends or me and Brent or whatever. I did volunteer. I volunteered Ooh. For 2.5 hours. Well, we had a meeting for my daughter's school fundraiser.
That's volunteer work.
It's volunteer work. And then like household tasks. I only spent a total of 9 hours on household tasks, which I consider laundry, just randomly like cleaning up the kitchen, whatever. But I had a cleaner come that week. And so we have, they're two college girls. They come every other Tuesday. I don't know if I'll have them still going now that the girls are in school and daycare, but probably, honestly, they're here for a total of 3 hours. What they can get done between the two of them, which is basically 6 hours, uninterrupted. If I could just focus on cleaning and not doing anything else, like it's an amazing investment and use of my time. And then we do have the lawn care company in the summertime because we have customers here all the time.
Yeah.
And so we have the lawn care company that comes. And so again, that was probably 10 hours that would have came from somewhere and it would have came from the time with my kids.
Exactly.
So
yeah, 20 hours uninterrupted with your kids. Like that is,
it was, I think it was a lot of it that week. So Friday I went to the floor store, as we call it.
The floor store.
Floor store. Hennins in Freeport.
Oh, to I pick was going to say it's got to be Hennins. There's no other option.
To pick out flooring for the new rental property. So we drove there, but we stopped at the playground in St. Joe. We got muffins. We drove the other half hour to the floor store. We were at the floor store for a half an hour. My kids whined and complained. But then we went to the zoo. And then on the way back, and then that evening, we went to a baseball game as a family. And then the next day, Brent had footy. He plays Australian football in the city. So we drove down there. We actually got pedicures while he did practice. And then we were at our friend's house. So we had a lot of time on both Friday and Saturday. Sunday morning, I did work a little bit. I had a UPIC, but then we went kayaking for like an hour and a half. And then actually that night was when I recorded for Ashley Green's podcast. So yep. I counted that as a date night with Brent because it was the two of us. But
which is something you could honestly almost like blur the lines of work and...
Yeah, exactly.
Because that... it's exposure for you and your brand and mm-hmm. your business. So.
Yeah. And so, and then that Monday, I literally recorded 0 hours of quality time with my children. But hey. Honestly, like, because so that Monday I woke up, I picked some flowers, I got the girls dressed, Brent brought them to daycare, and then I worked on like, or sorry, not that Monday. What happened that Monday? Oh, Brent's mom took the girls. That's what happened. She came and got them. And so they were gone. And so then when she got them home, she didn't bring them home until 8:30, which is totally fine, mm-hmm. but they needed baths. So yes, I was with them for 45 minutes, giving them a bath or whatever. And again, blurred lines. Like, mm-hmm. Was I not around my kids at all? And then Tuesday was, I counted it as 2 hours, you know, half an hour before bed. Vi and I had dentist appointments. And so she and I went out to eat, you know, just like looking in the schedule. So I have it. I ended up highlighting the colors.
It looks great. Like yeah. when they mention the mosaic in this book, that is a mosaic.
So like the pink is Flower Farm. The purple is podcasting coaching. The orange is the rental property. The yellow is nurse practitioner. And it was kind of a slow day. So it was like in chunks in between. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like it's very balanced. Like it's scattered color wise for the audio listeners, but it's balanced. Like there isn't one overwhelming color on the spreadsheet. I mean, there's a lot of green, and I'm guessing green is the time with the kids.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's yep. great.
Blue is sleep.
Blue is sleep. Lots of sleep.
There's a lot of sleep, which actually, so you can see, I started mine on a Wednesday. I didn't get home until 1:30 in the morning because that was when I was doing that speaking in Fargo.
Oh.
And so guess what? You make up for it somewhere.
Yep.
And so I slept more on this because the previous week would have been mm-hmm. 4 hours shy. Like you, the time comes from somewhere. Yep. Like you can only stay up late so many nights in a row trying to get stuff done until your body says, hey, I need to go to bed.
Yeah, definitely.
So what quotes did you take away from the book or what did you think?
Okay, so I listened to the audio version of this book, and as I was like listening to it, I'd pause it and then type in the quote that I heard that it really struck a chord with me. The first one I wrote down is, a life is lived in hours, having a full life is possible if you place the tiles in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
Which after doing my own time log, yeah, you can get everything done you want to. You just got to move around things to make it all fit together.
Yeah, and I think that I know that I'm most productive in the mornings, but it's getting to a point now where, you know what? I maybe just need to do some things in the evening. Maybe it's emails. Maybe it's, you know, I'm probably not able to record a podcast in the evenings mm-hmm. because I'm just not mentally there, but I can do some things in the evenings that I've been putting on, or, you know, oh, I'll do this tomorrow. Well, there's only so many, if I only have so many productive hours and whatever. Yeah. But again, if you would have seen this in my 20s, like in 2017, when I was doing clinicals and school yeah. and working, like this would have been significantly different.
Would have been way different.
Mm-hmm.
The other quote that I liked from this was, no typical week is really typical. And so I started recording my time literally a week from today. Like last week I started. It started on a Wednesday. And in that week, it was Labor Day weekend. My sister-in-law got married. Bear hunting started, which is a huge priority in my life. And on top of that, I had two podcast launches for clients
mm-hmm.
that were the Tuesday after Labor Day. So no typical week is typical. And I'm like, oh, it's not really a great week to be logging my time, but this is my life. Like mm-hmm. it's never going to be a typical week, whether the weekend has a hunting opener in it, or the weekend has a wedding I'm DJing in it, or I have client recordings that are randomly popping up because it's at the last minute. Like, there's never going to be a typical week. So like, there's no time like the present to record what I'm doing and figure out how I can adjust. And I can always record more weeks mm-hmm. to make a rolling average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly it. Like 1 week you might end up, you know, working way different, or, you know, it's what you do consistently, mm-hmm. you know, and so 1 day is not going to kill you. And so this book, we will read these books later on, but I wanted to start with this one, even though some people might find it unrelatable or whatever, but this book it kind of builds on her previous book, 168 Hours. And that's looking at, you have 168 hours in a week versus if you're like, there's 24 hours in a day and every day I need X amount of time for work and X amount of time for sleep and X amount of time for kids and whatever. And like I said, there's one day where I would call it zero quality time. But I had 3 days that had over 5 hours mm-hmm. of uninterrupted time with my children. I wasn't even folding laundry. Like, I was playing with them on the playset. We were going somewhere. We were doing something. I wasn't answering emails while they were on the playset. Like, I was actually with them. We mm-hmm. were kayaking. We were, you know, whatever. And that doesn't include time that we were driving. I mean, we slept at our rental property last night. Me and the girls went up there because Brent was out of town. So I picked Vi up from school and I was peeling off wallpaper while they were on the iPads. And, you know, I made them like watch with me in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Would I consider that quality time? Yes and no, maybe. I don't know. But I would
say it's the quality yeah, time you yeah. had to provide.
Yeah. And they had a little picnic on the floor. And yeah, I was peeling off wallpaper and stripping that mural, which I made them go upstairs then because I was wearing a mask because paint thinner, obviously.
Is it the raccoon mural?
It's the raccoon mural. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more on the raccoon mural.
But I think that, you know, when you look at it, no day is typical. No week is typical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was in chapter two, she mentions she was going over the log of a woman who worked at JP Morgan. She was 25 years old and she had a midlife crisis breakdown from being burnt out and overworked.
Hmm.
And that just like struck a real chord with me, because guess who else had a midlife crisis breakdown? Me. And then she goes on to like share how she started locking her time and like prioritizing and changing things, and it made a difference. And I mean, I did the same thing, and it just struck a chord, hit a little close to home on that one.
Well, and I think that both of us, as we're like exploring entrepreneurship and learning to work smarter, not harder, and blah, 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 I love the life that I'm building, and I'm really happy how my mosaic looks. And, you know, Brent and I have talked about the flexibility that I have. It's great, but I can quickly really fall behind when something goes awry. If all of a sudden daycare is closed, and, you know, I can work from home with one of them here on any given day, but not every day. And then I spend time making up for it. But because of the work that I have, I can just follow up later, or I can, you know, but the more time I put into it, the more rewards there are. But it's just an interesting, you know, when you're able to balance it. And I don't, did you work on your weekends?
Yeah. So I, in mine, let me pull it up here. I did have a little bit of work on the weekend. Like I said, it was Labor Day, and my sister-in-law got married on Saturday. So Friday, I counted as part of Labor Day weekend. I had 3.5 hours of work on that, but that was because I got 1/2 hour of work done in the morning before I left for the wedding venue, because we got to go to the wedding venue at noon on Friday to set up for groom's dinner. And on my way to the wedding venue, I ended up getting a call from a potential podcast client who I had talked with a couple weeks ago, and I was just going to follow up with them after Labor Day. And they sent an email saying, hey, here's some audio. We need it posted and edited. And I took that as, okay, well, I guess I'm hired and you need me literally right now. So I helped a little bit set up for the wedding. And then I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry. I got to peel away for a couple hours. I spent a few hours editing a podcast, got that taken care of. So I logged a little bit of work then. And then the Saturday of the wedding, I was in charge of the audio for the ceremony and recording the ceremony on video. So I logged 1/2 hour of work setting up all the gear for that and tearing it down. So I had a little bit of work there. And then Labor Day Monday, I had about an hour that I, between my bear hunting adventures, that I was at the lake using, because I'm very strategic about the things I bring to the lake with me, because we have really good internet at our lake lot. So I strategically bring things with me where, as I'm spending quality time with my family, I can also have some uploads going in the background to get those done. So
yeah. And I, on Saturday, I worked 1 hour. On Sunday, I worked 4 hours, but we had a U-pick that morning.
Right.
And my work was, I mean, we were all here. Like, the girls were outside with me. Brent was inside having coffee. It was pretty low key. And then that Thursday I worked 9 hours, and that Monday I worked 10 and a half.
Okay.
But again, my kids were gone, uninterrupted time.
Yep.
I was able to get a lot done. And then on Friday, you know, I think I worked 4 hours on Friday, 6 hours, you know. And then, so if my boss is listening, or anyone from the organization that I work at as a nurse practitioner, it was an unusually slow day. And so in between patients, I was able to get some other stuff done. Now, you and I both know that the following week, I realized I was a ton of hours short of my continuing ed. So I wish I had been doing continuing ed on that Wednesday in between patients. But really, I mean, I logged it as time I was actually working. And then in between, you know, got some other stuff done, which, no, I'm not like picking flowers and doing whatever on those Wednesdays. But there's, you know, if there's no patient scheduled or whatever, like, yeah, I can check my personal email in between certain things, as long as things are caught up. But yeah, just looking at, okay, how many hours do we actually work? And cold and flu season is coming up.
Yeah.
And I will pay for it.
Yeah. Now that school's back in session, you're going to be getting a lot of calls.
Yeah, I will be busy from, and that's, again, but that's part of this mosaic schedule. Basically, I could either start seeing patients at 8 a.m., and see my last patient at 7:30 at night, but then I probably have 2 hours of charting to do. But that's where I can choose to continue working that night, or log in on Friday morning and finish them. Like, I'm allowed to, you know, and that's
things
what she,
around.
And that's what she talked about with a lot of lawyers or physicians or people that, you know, can move, you know, go home, have lunch with the family, and then after putting the kids to bed, log back in. Those split shifts, exactly. And so I'm able to do that. And yeah, I think that flexibility is important. And as employers look at, you know, hiring and growing their team or whatever,
Yeah, it's important. And then the last two quotes kind of went hand in hand that I pulled from the book. It's, the more you have going on, the more you do. And if you want something done, ask a busy person.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what's that? Who had the, I dropped out of science class to take astronomy of all things.
How'd that work out?
I enjoyed it. but there's like that object in motion stays in motion. Like the more you're involved and active and engaged, the more you're going to do. And I have found that I do get asked to do a lot of things because I am a busy person and people look at me and they know, hey, if we ask Abby to do something, it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm. I realize that not everyone has the luxury to just switch careers or switch jobs or whatever, but I do think that times are changing, priorities are changing, people are less and less motivated by money. They want time flexibility. They want, you know, the ability to do mm-hmm. things. And maybe that means that they're not working from 9 to 5. Maybe they can work from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. And again, they can log in the afternoon mm-hmm. or do some work on the weekends or whatever. And I do think it's interesting, you know, as I have, you know, I have an employee now, Tina, that works from 8 to 2 Monday through Thursday. And I would say one day a week I have her work from home because either A, I'm not here, or B, I've got so much stuff to do and she's got a list of tasks to do and whatever. The one day she's like, hey, I ended up working 9 to 3 instead. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Now I do pay her hourly. If it was a like 1099 task based something, like that's where it gets a little hairy. Cause mm-hmm. if you want that flexibility to, you know, set your own hours and as long as I'm getting my work done, who cares or whatever? Well, that's not necessarily a W-2 position.
Right.
That's a 1099 position and you're contracted to get a task list done, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really matter when you do it. Now, all of a sudden, that employer is not required to give you benefits or yeah. whatever. And so it's a lot messier than, you know, I think our generation has to be a little bit careful about what we ask for or what we demand yeah. or what we, you know, because all of a sudden if it's project based, like, okay, well then you're subcontracted project management or.
And there goes your healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think as a business owner and multiple business owner, I love books like this because it helps me realize that, okay, this is what I'm doing or, mm-hmm. you know, having the flexibility. You know, Brent's definitely not there and probably won't be, but like we chatted about, you know, this lake place that we, you know, we're going to start renting it out for next summer. And, you know, ideally if people rent it like Tuesday or Wednesday through Sunday and, you know, we'll see, but I think a lot of the, you know, we're figuring out the cleaning and whatever, but I'm like, you know, right now I could work on whether it's podcast stuff or just book work or invoicing or whatever, even social media stuff, my email newsletters, whatever. Like if I just worked from the lake on Mondays mm-hmm. and we go up there on Sunday, clean, hang out, and then we drive back on Tuesday, you know, or whatever. Like I think next summer it's having that flexibility in the schedule. And like, if you have that flexibility of where you work, another thing, this book was written in 2015.
Yes. Yep.
And so remote work was way different than it is now.
Yeah. But I did notice as I was listening to it, that
it was pretty progressive.
It was very progressive.
For 2015, for 9 years ago.
If I didn't know that it was written in 2015, I would have assumed that it was written in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Like it seemed like it touched on remote work and it didn't like demonize it in any way. Mm-hmm. It actually like was encouraging more mm-hmm. people to kind of lean that direction or try to shift their company culture that way. I think, yeah, it didn't seem dated at all.
Mm-hmm. If listening to this, I mean, I hope I don't get emails from a bunch of employers that are like, great, your book made everyone who listened to your book quit their jobs. They're like, oh, I want a flexible job.
Well, then maybe you need to reevaluate your company structure and offer them some hybrid options.
Yes. No, I think so. Other takeaways from your mosaic.
I logged 23 hours of work last week, Wednesday to Wednesday. And for there being a holiday weekend in there and a wedding that I was heavily involved in, I think 23 hours is pretty solid.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
No, and I'm at the point where, so this, you know, this 42 hours, I'm actually surprised it was that high. But I did something like like I hosted a picnic for my networking group here at the flower farm. I counted that at work as work because some people bought bouquets.
I didn't count it as work though.
Yeah, I didn't count it as family time, even though everyone brought their kids and my kids were here, but they were playing with everyone else, not me. My kids didn't care about me. they wanted the people who brought the snacks and whatever. And so again, there's a lot of overlapping things. It's like, and I think that's where she really, Laura, the author, leaned into those generalizations that are just not true. When people are like, oh, I work all the time, or oh, I never see my kids. Well, yeah, you do. Like, you know, and that's where I do think as school is starting to get into a routine and Davey goes back to daycare Monday through Friday now. So she just started Monday through Friday daycare again because mom has to get some stuff done. Mm-hmm. You know, we enjoy our summers and I can structure stuff, but like Liz has a pile of a to-do list. But, you know, I need to turn those evenings into something more fun, something more. And so we pick up from school at 2:45. And so we're home by 3. So I have from 3 to 8 with my kids every day. And I'm going to try to, you know, and we do things like family laundry. Like we all fold clothes. Guess what? It takes 2 hours to fold 2 baskets of clothes and put them away. But that is quality time.
It's quality time. And you're teaching them valuable life skills as well. Yeah. So like.
But versus sometimes I'm like, okay, you guys just watch TV and mom will get this done. And then we can go do something else. Like. At some point, does everything have to be a learning lesson or where's mom's sanity or, you know, anyway, but yeah, just finding those ways to like, you have more time than you think you have more flexibility. You have more, I don't know why there's a fly on you. Apologies.
I know why there's a fly because it's early September and the flies exploded.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Cause it's cold out. Anyway. So, the next episode I'm going to have my friend Bailey on here. She is a friend of mine from college that I really admire. She tracks her time down to the 15-minute for work anyway.
Ooh.
She has to track what she does. And so this was not a big deal for her. She's like, I can do it. And I admire her so much as a friend. We've been friends since she was a freshman. I was a sophomore. And I mean, she saved me from getting a minor because we went to a Johnny Holm concert. We've got a lot of stories.
It's always the Johnny Holm concert.
We've got a lot of stories. But you know, we've grown together, but I feel like when I think about someone who, and she might not feel this way about her own life, but I admire her for finding balance, and she travels a ton for work. She flies a lot for work. And so I want to really dig in deep into that. Like, yes, it's work. Yes, it's travel. But how does she keep it enjoyable and a little bit of me time? Or maybe not. Maybe she says, no, I keep my trips as short as possible so that I can be home. Or, you know, and I'm assuming she doesn't have a ton of.
I'll be super interested to hear that because my plan for this upcoming spring of 2025 is to do quite a bit of traveling. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to work out the logistics of how I'm going to balance the fun time versus the get stuff done portion of that because.
Yeah.
We're doing 3 major road trips
between
June and May. So
yeah.
I'll be interested to hear what she has to say.
Well, thank you guys so much. And head to the Facebook page. Give us your comments.
Track your time. We want to see your mosaics.
Yeah.
That'd be super cool.
And again, I mean, okay, I'm going to say this because I'm a married woman. I'm allowed to say this. Like, Brent and I had sex 4 times on there. And I'm like, which is a lot, but we're also trying to get pregnant. But like, you know that you're writing it down. So I'm like, oh, I get to write that. I did that. I read books to my kids 3 times. I'm like, do I read books to my kids 3 times a week during the summer? Probably not, but I wanted to write it down. It's kind of like, if you know you have to write the junk food down, like you don't eat it because you're keeping a food diary.
Yep.
It's the same with this. And so, you know, is it skewed? Is it not? But I tried
to motivate you to be better.
I tried to be as honest as possible, but maybe I could write it down. And
oh, I love it.
I'm the cool wife. We're newlyweds, okay? And I'm blushing. He's not going to like this.
He'll be fine.
He's fine. Anyway, okay.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Thanks for listening.